biggest after-hours talk show.
This is Late Night City with Pete Price on City Talk 105.9.
A campaign has started today, which is very important. It's a campaign we shouldn't be having at all, because children should be safe. Young people should be looked after. We shouldn't be even having this conversation. But unfortunately, the world we live in right now, we have to. It's all about child sexual exploitation. We must believe them. Research has shown that on average, it takes 7 years for a child to disclose sexual abuse, as they either have no one to trust or turn to, no one who listens, no one who's there for them. The police are today joining up with a charity, the NWG, which is the network to raise awareness of children's sexual exploitation, and encouraging people not to ignore the signs. That's exactly what we're talking about tonight. That's been the campaign throughout the country all day today. But it shouldn't be a campaign. We shouldn't be talking about it. Children should be safe. Young people should have a life. They should be safe from everything, because you only get one chance at this life. I've got a group of people with me here tonight, and we're going to be talking to them. We have some experts, we have some young people, and I want you at the end of this program to go away and say, yes, I've learned. Yes, I will help. Yes, it's important that we keep the youth of today safe, away from this vileness that seems to be epidemic within this country, which makes me personally very angry. And what is not helping it is social media, which has changed the way people are these days. We have some experts with us, and we'll find out what they have to do with this campaign. Let's start now with Detective Superintendent Tim Keelan. First of all, you represent the police today. Very important. The police's budgets have been cut, which doesn't help things. You haven't got the manpower you used to have. We have now this modern technology, which is not helping your job, because it takes so many hours to go through social network. What can we do about this?
Well, to be quite honest, Pete, social networking is fantastic, and there are many, many good things about social network and the internet, and the opportunities for people to speak to each other in their leisure time are fantastic. But there are dangers out there too. And child sexual exploitation is where somebody, where a child or young person receives something for either performing or allowing another person to perform on them some sort of sexual act. They frequently get things for it, or are given things for being involved in a relationship with the perpetrator, and it involves some element of power or control, or where the child receives something from the perpetrator for allowing the perpetrator to behave the way they do towards the child. We work very closely with a large group of organisations across Merseyside. Merseyside Police works with the Crown Prosecution Service. We work with other agencies such as Children's Social Care, schools, health. We work with a lot of people to try and make sure that we better protect people collectively. And that's what it's all about.
I've got to make a point right now, which I think is really important. And while we've got you here, I think this really is important. To everybody listening now, wherever you are, once you put a picture up on social network, whether it's your phone, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whatever it is, if it is something that is not a nice photo, it is there forever. It will never be taken down, will it?
That's true. I mean, I've heard people say in the past that phones, Instagram and various other ways that people share images are deleted very, very quickly. But the truth of the matter is that once it's out there, it can be shared. And unfortunately, sometimes when you're involved, or when young people are involved in relationships with people who they trust and they think a great deal of, if that relationship breaks down, there is a risk then that the person who the image has been shared with at a time when you both think a lot of each other could then be shared to bully, to intimidate, to basically demean somebody else So I would suggest that people really think about what they do by way of sharing images, because it could come back to bite people. And it's, you know, it's something to think about, really.
It's awful. Years ago, when there wasn't telephones, and I'm older than most of you in here, but when you were younger, this didn't happen. It's a different way of life. It's a different world we're living in, isn't it?
Very much so. And as I said before, there are many, many advantages to the internet, but there are downsides to it as well. We've heard about the dark web. And lots of people will be much more au fait in this room with the internet than I am at my age. But there are many, many advantages to it, but there are things which I would exercise and encourage certainly parents and children and young people to be cautious of when using the internet, because you don't know who you're speaking to sometimes. And there are people out there who are very, very skilled and able to groom people and to make people think that they are somebody they're not. And ultimately, when these people do meet up with children, because that's what happens sometimes, the shock of what the child is faced with sometimes makes them unable to come forward and tell people about it. And it's just something that sometimes perpetrators play on.
The only negative thing I think of every time we talk like this is right now, taxi drivers will be listening across the Northwest. There's just an example, taxi drivers, who might see something. And there are, I believe, campaigns on the Wirral to make taxi drivers aware. But what is worrying is people go, but if I get involved, is it going to turn on me? Is it going to turn against me? What do we say about that, Tim?
It's like thinking, would you want this to happen to your child? And for me, as a parent, I would suggest that anyone who is aware of concerns for particular people, maybe, for example, who get into a cab, if they've got concerns about a particular child being with an adult and they want to share that, there's lots of different ways now that people can share that information with the police to safeguard that child in a way which protects them if they don't want to be involved. They can ring Crime Stoppers, and there are other ways that they can do so. The police often treat information which we're given in confidence. But at the end of the day, I would also encourage people, if they are aware of situations like that, where exploitative situations are taking place, to think about what you would want some other adult to do for your child. Because for me, as an adult, if I saw somebody else's child being used in the way that some of these people treat children, it's not right. And I think it's absolutely right that people should stand up and speak about it as a witness.
I think it's very important right now, a very important point that we put over. There's going to be lots of people that can help, but also we must mention Crime Stoppers, which is a great, great insight. Can you explain what that's about?
Yeah, Crime Stoppers is basically it's a telephone line where people can ring up confidentially, in confidence, and tell, pass information to Crime Stoppers. We, as the police, never get to know who's rang up. So if people choose to give Crime Stoppers their name and address, they can do. But ultimately, if they choose not to, they can dial 0800 555 111, which is the number for Crime Stoppers, and give information to the police anonymously.
And what Tim has just said, and that's Detective Superintendent Tim Keelan, what he has just said, I can vouch for completely. It is completely anonymous, and that information will be passed to the police, but it will never, ever get back to you. And believe it or not, there's even a reward system. But the wonderful thing is, in the Northwest, most people don't take the reward. They just want to give the information. So it is there. That's just one avenue that we'll discuss here tonight. Thank you very much for that, sir. Now, we've got Janet Potter from the CPS, who is Head of Complexed Casework Unit. That's a bit of a title, Janet. Explain what that's about.
The Complex Casework Unit is part of Mersey Cheshire Crown Prosecution Service, which deals with the more complex crimes, as the name would suggest. So the crimes that involve a large number of defendants, the crimes that are particularly difficult to investigate, the crimes which are difficult to gather the evidence and put before the court, the Complex Casework Unit will deal with that. And that includes any large-scale child sexual exploitation cases which come into the Crown Prosecution Service via the police.
That's great. Now, what I want from you today, and I want to send the message over, a young person is abused, a young person comes forward. That isn't the start, that is the beginning, that it then goes on. But the fear of what's going to happen, now, people are getting more and more protective, aren't they, looking after these young people.
Yes.
Talk us through it.
Yes. In Merseyside, we've got a dedicated unit of prosecutors who deal with sexual offences, the prosecution of sexual offences, and that's the only type of offence that they deal with. So they are expert in that field. They work alongside the police very closely to offer support right from the beginning to victims of this type of crime. And they will work with the police to decide how those victims can best give their evidence. If the victim is supportive of a prosecution, then they will support them throughout the system as the case proceeds to court. They will put them in touch with the right people who can support that victim all the way through. They will look at the evidence that the victim has given to the police and will go through that in detail to make sure we put the best possible case before the courts. And the victim will be kept informed at every stage of the procedure as to what is happening, what the timescales are likely to be, when and how they're likely to be required to give evidence at the court if it comes to a trial.
Sadly, because of dramas on television, we see people being brutalised in courts. How do you protect children these days?
Well, there's a number of measures that are in place that the prosecution can apply to the court to invoke as far as giving evidence is concerned. Children have an entitlement to give evidence by way of what are called special measures. So they can give evidence by way of a video recorded interview at court. There's also provisions now in certain areas, and Liverpool is one of them, for children actually to be cross-examined on a video link prior to the trial. So the child never actually has to set foot in the courtroom to give their evidence, which is a huge step forward in protecting them from that alien environment of the courtroom. Obviously, once in court, the questions that can be put to them over the video link or the questions that are put in the pre-recorded cross-examination can be controlled by the prosecution advocate and the judge to make sure that there is no element of bullying, but yet there is still a fair trial for the defendant.
That's interesting, because your department is one of the scary bits. It's bad enough that they've been abused, but it's an awful lot of people will say it's abuse again. You have just explained that you've tried to make it that much easier.
Yes.
What's the message you would like to pass over tonight to people on this special day? We must believe them.
It's very important that people come forward and report these crimes, because if they don't, then the perpetrators very often will continue and there will, in most cases, be more victims. So it's very important that justice is done and the perpetrators are brought to justice and the crimes are reported. So I would say to anybody who has been a victim of this crime that a lot of work has been done both by the police service and by the Crown Prosecution Service to put things in place for victims to give their best evidence and the best account of what has happened to them. We will take at face value what they say. We will look at it in some detail. And if people are frightened to come forward because they think they've done something that they shouldn't have done, they've drunk alcohol, they've taken drugs, they've been a place where they shouldn't have been, where their parents have told them not to go, I would say to them, don't be fearful of that, because what we're trying to do is establish exactly what has happened to you and if there has been a crime committed, to bring that person perpetrator to justice.
Thank you.
Late Night City with Pete Price on City Talk 105.9.
For those people who have just joined us, you might have noticed today there's been a campaign throughout the whole of the country. CSE, Child Sexual Exploitation. The slogan is, we must believe them. What we're trying to do, we have a group of young people here, we have a group of experts here who are going to tell us things that you've just been hearing. We want you to switch the radio off tonight and say, yes, I will be aware. Yes, I will watch out for my child. And if you are young, listening, be aware. Don't be big time. Don't be cocky. Don't think you know everything. You don't know everything. We're here to make you realize there are people a lot more cleverer than you in this world, and they are evil, they are wicked, and they will abuse you if they get the chance. That's what it's about. We have a lot of young people here today. We're going to be hopefully talking to a few of them. Right now, we're now going to talk to Sefton's Karen Gray, who is Parenting and Participation Officer. Karen, thank you first of all for coming. Tell me, what is your role?
I work directly with our looked after children and our care leavers in Sefton. So part of my job is to make sure as a local authority that we take what's called our corporate parenting role very seriously. And I support our kids to be involved with the local authority because it's important that we listen to them, that we hear what they've got to say about the services we provide, the support we provide, and we'll support them, encourage them to work along with us in the local authority, which our lot do.
The press paint a very bad picture. In your opinion, it's your opinion, how bad is the problem? Is it as bad as we're led to believe?
We only know what we know, and it's very hidden. It can be very, very hidden as a crime. The police will tell you that, the CPS will tell you that, because people don't often recognise it. So they find it difficult to actually pinpoint it. The young people themselves don't know necessarily that it's actually happening to them until it's too far down the line and they can't get out of the situation. We've got to start listening to kids. We've got to start looking for the signals. Are they coming home with gifts that you know they haven't got the money to pay for? Are they going out to places that you know they shouldn't be going to, don't have the money to go to? Are they getting lifts to and from people you don't know? We have to start unpicking all of that, and we have to start standing up for our kids. It is a very, very serious issue. We do have to stand up on behalf of them and listen and believe what they're telling us. Yes, it is a big issue. We only know what we know, but a lot of it's hidden.
It's not about Muslims. It's not about Pakistanis. It's not about anything. It's about adults. White, black, blue, pink, everything. We must get this message over. It's everybody. It's not a set of people, is it?
No, it's not. You're absolutely right, it's not. It can be anybody, and quite often it can be the least suspected people. So it's the people who run the local corner shop, or the people who, I don't know, work in a restaurant or work in the train station or whoever. It's not a particular person, and it can be, you know, you can be the least suspected. So it's not so much about the people that are doing it per se. They are the perpetrators of it. But this campaign's all about making our kids aware, and that's what I really want to do. I want to make the kids themselves aware and say to them, as this panel of experts that we're being called, we will listen to you, we will believe you. If you come forward and tell us, we'll do everything to support you.
Right now, and the awful thing is, and it really scares me this, we are talking and there will be somebody sitting at home being abused. What do you say to them listening right now, fearful, in their bedroom, with nobody, frightened, scared, feeling very alone?
Tell someone about it. Tell somebody you trust about it. There must be somebody out there, an adult at school, a teacher, a relative, one of your neighbours. There must be somebody that you can talk to. Tell them about it. And to the person out there that they might tell, believe the child. Believe what they're telling you. And you take that up on their behalf from there. Because that's the important thing, is about believing them. We didn't believe them before, and we have to believe them now.
We'll stay with this because I am an older man who is a gay man. And when I was younger, it was against the law to be a homosexual. End of story. It was against the law. So I know that fear that those young people are feeling right now of actually telling somebody, actually crossing that line and saying, because once you've told them, it's out there. So I've got to stay with this again. We really have got to get them to cross that line. I've been there. I know how fearful that is, because you think, what am I going to do? So once again, we really have got to tell someone, haven't we?
We do, but us as adults telling them is one thing. I think today we should be talking to our young people in this room, because coming from another young person saying, look, it's awful, we know what happens, and if it's happening to you, get help. Me saying it as an old woman doesn't make any difference, but perhaps if we hand over to the kids, they'll tell us.
We're going to in a minute.
They'll be able to talk directly to the other young people out there and tell them.
Yep, Fine. Now we're going to we're all safeguarding manager Simon Gardner, who's going to talk to us. Tell us, Simon, first of all, what your part in this campaign is all about.
Well, I lead a group of professionals from Wirral who concentrate on how we can improve the training and awareness around child sexual exploitation so that people out there working with children and young people do know what to look for, do know how to recognise it, and are giving the right messages about how to approach them. But that's not all. We're also looking at and working with some actual cases at times and wanting to ensure that the right response is there, coordinated response from professionals to protect some children. But probably most importantly, as you've called us up here experts, one of the things we need to get expert at is listening to and learning from the young people themselves. That's something we really need to concentrate our efforts on more, because there's an awful lot more we can understand about the sorts of things that young people face that we can support and help them with better to reduce the risk of something happening in terms of, you know, harm to them.
Now, I don't want to get political, in fact, I won't get political, but every one of you up here are getting cuts left, right and centre to budgets, money. Is that hindering the job you're doing?
I would say no, because the amount of passion there is, I think, not just it within the council, but within the partnership to do something about this is great. It's as you said at the beginning, there's a real determination, and that's why we're all here today, a real determination to have some impact on the problem and make a difference.
Now, we have the 9 members of the Youth Advisory Group, and we also have the Youth Parliament here. The Youth Advisory Group, young lady here. First of all, tell us your name.
My name's Shauna.
Hi. So tell us first about the Youth Advisory Group. What's that about?
Basically, we're a group of young people, and we're looking to improve the youth service.
What made you get involved with it?
I've been involved in the Youth Centre for 13 years.
Right.
So it's always been in my life, so I've always wanted to be involved.
So I can ask how old you are now?
19,
right. Talking to young people, have you seen a change in attitudes, or are we doing the right thing by doing this programme tonight because more people need to be told?
Definitely more people need to be aware of what's going on around them.
Talking to young people, are you never surprised at how gullible some of them are?
A little bit, yeah, because people are easily led, but there is some people out there that are sensible enough to, when they get told something, to question it.
See, the problem we've got is every one of us in this room, and there are many people we won't be talking to, have all gone through, we've all grown up or we're all still young. So we've all been down that road of bullies, fights, we've seen it all. But we didn't have, an awful lot of us didn't have the social media, we didn't have telephones like there is. Do you see it? I know it's part of your life now, and every one of all you young people here, it's part of your life. But do you see it as a problem? Do you? Can you see
definitely
it?
Definitely, you can see like bullying on social media and stuff. And today's definitely made me more aware to like go home and check my social media and see if there's people that I don't know and people that look a bit suspicious on there, and to definitely delete them.
Do you think that people, young people, are becoming wiser or not to Twitter, to Facebook, to Instagram? Do you think they are or not?
Not really, because if someone sends you a friend request on, say, Facebook, for example, you'd accept them just to see who they are, and then sometimes you just forget to like delete them if you don't know them.
Do you think young people talk to adults, or do you think they clam up, in your opinion, after meeting the people you meet?
It depends on what the relationship's like. Like, I don't particularly talk to my mum about certain things, but I've got other adults that are there that I can speak to.
For those people who are older, listening right now, and don't really understand social media in general, how important is it, there's a group of young people here, how important is it in your lives?
It's quite important, because it's, say if you can't get to see people that you'd normally want to see, you can speak to them through social media, so you can still interact with them without being face-to-face.
In general, do schools ban phones, or are you allowed to take them into class?
They're banned. Yeah.
Which is understandable, isn't it? Because there's so many distractions on a phone.
Yeah, understandable.
We have the Youth Parliament over there. And your name is what?
Eve.
Tell us what the Youth Parliament's about.
The Youth Parliament, we get together like every few weeks and we talk about matters that have come up in Liverpool. We get the young people's opinions, see what they think, have a vote on it, and then put it forward towards the adults because we want to have our say in what happens.
How many of you are there?
There's about 70 of us in the group.
Wow, that's amazing. I asked that lady before, I'll ask you. Life is all around your phone these days, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone has their phone. I mean, your mum and dad will always be going on about how much you use your phone, and that's why it's banned in school. Because when you're at home and you're doing revision, you've constantly got your phone by you and you don't concentrate. Mm. So in school, I think it's important that it is banned so you can concentrate on your studies because it's always flashing up. Yeah.
Do you think we need this campaign? We must believe them.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I mean, when I first came to the meeting about it, I didn't realise how big it was and how much of an effect it had on things. But then I went back and I spoke to the Youth Parliament and talked to the children there, and they agree that it's such a big thing. Like, kids are being exploited and it's not right. It's really, really not right. I think that they need to know that there are people there for them, and they need to know how to get in touch with them and to know that they will be believed.
Is it a subject that not takes over your life, but is it a subject that's discussed all the time with young people or not?
I don't think it's really discussed. I think that's the problem.
Oh, you think that's the problem?
Yeah, I think if it was discussed and if we were made more aware, and I think people would be more inclined to do something about it, to look for the signs in their friends, to speak to people if they did have a concern about something.
So what would you say to young people out there listening right now? You're part of the Youth Parliament, which is a cracking idea, and it's a great idea because it gets you into politics early on and it makes you realise how things work. What would you say to young people out there?
I'd say be there for someone else. If you see something, go and speak to them. Like, don't be scared of them saying, oh no, there's nothing wrong, because you can never be wrong by asking someone if they're okay. Even just asking someone if they're okay can make a massive difference to them. And just to know that they have a friend there they can speak to, or even if you give them a number or somewhere that they can go to find help, that would really impact on their lives.
And we might as well give a plug to the Youth Parliament. What would you say to anybody who wants to join?
Definitely join. It benefits you so much. You're able to speak, you'll be able to grow your confidence and meet new people that you wouldn't be able to meet without it.
Right, what's your name, please?
Joanne.
And Joanne, what do you do?
I'm a member of the Making a Difference group for Sefton. It's a children and care council.
Right. You're the one that's been nodding, smiling, agreeing, shaking your head. You've got something to say, haven't you?
Yeah.
Tell us.
It moves a range of different things. I think, as before, one of the things said was that it's a good idea the phone should be banned from school and stuff like that. I agree partly on that, but I think if we embrace this technology that young people are so like attached to more and opened ourselves up to learn, well, you know, adults open themselves up more to learn about it, it'd keep them safer rather than banning them and having a lockdown on it. Because if we were more open to learn about it ourselves and teach them as well.
Can you believe that we have this problem in this day and age?
No, I mean, in Sefton, we're doing loads anyway. I was the young person representative for our CSE subgroup. And when I first went along, I was absolutely shocked. Some of the stuff that they were like, they were umming and ahhing at, and some of the things they didn't know about like Facebook and Snapchat and stuff like that. It's shocking, really. Because if anything, I think the young people are the experts, because we're the ones on the ground experiencing it. Probably the majority of us in the room know someone who shared an image or has saw someone that they don't know on Facebook. So I think, if anything, we're the experts on the subject.
Somebody will come on my phone in and say, but what about these parents that don't have parental control over it, where you can block this and block that? I think we must point out that young people are far more clever than most parents, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think, as somebody said before, everything's about relationships, and you know, I'm a strong believer in that. If the relationship is good enough, there won't be a secrecy there as much about trying to hide this from your mum and dad, because you know mum and dad are going to respect whatever you're saying or are going to listen to you when you come with an issue.
You were nodding your head behind. Are you going to talk to me? When I said that about parental control, you nodded your head sort of with a big smile. They're not in charge, are they?
Well, a lot of stuff now they're not, because I know myself, I've had numerous different Facebook accounts, for example, and parents and carers, because I'm in care, don't really know what to do. So even if they do block it, there is another way of getting to it. Yeah. For example, there's other internet websites and stuff you can get on to get to it, which you can't necessarily do, which adults haven't quite worked out yet.
Sorry, I never asked your name. What's your name?
Dylan.
Dylan. Dylan, how important is the internet and your telephone to you?
Very, because at the minute I don't have any of them at the minute. I've went a couple of months without them, but they are very important. But at the same time, you can also do without them as well, like I've had to. You don't always actually need them 24/7, though. I reckon there needs to be like shorter times on how much people, young people use them.
May I ask how long you've been in care?
I've been in care, it'll be 4 years in October.
Being in care is slightly different than having a mum and dad. I was adopted, so I know what you go through. I was one of the lucky ones to get a mum. I'm delighted to say, who's sadly no longer with me. But the question I want to ask, when you talk to other young people in care, are they more aware? Because we talk about families, but in fact, a lot of people say the people in care are more vulnerable, even though you're protected by adults. Are you conscious of that?
I reckon more people in care, they say you're more vulnerable, but...
They're more worldly?
They tend to have more knowledge in some sense, because... Yeah. Because they have to do it for themselves. They don't have the parents to, like, guard them. They have to learn these things themselves. So they may be more vulnerable at first, but if you put two about my age there next to, say, someone they didn't know, this man asked them both to get in the car, it'd be more like the one with the family.
So being in care, you're more streetwise?
Maybe not at first, because that's why you're in care, but you're more likely to learn and develop better in care, I believe, than not, because you've got to do it yourself.
Yeah. Do a lot of young people these days, when you're talking, are they aware of the problems, do you think, or not?
Depends. The knowledge are actually the issues, because the people who have experienced child sexual exploitation are more knowledgeable on the situation, whereas, and they can help other people, whereas the people who haven't aren't as knowledgeable, so they're more at risk.
You're very forthright, which is great, and I'm thrilled that you are. If somebody made a play for you, if somebody was starting to get round you, would you be aware of it? Would you go and complain?
I'd be more aware now at the age I am now, but back about 5-6 years ago, I would have struggled more, like, because I was more vulnerable and more clueless to what was going on. But as you get older, especially growing up in care, I've got to know more about right and wrongs and what to do.
How old are you?
I'm 16.
An honest question and an honest answer in front of all these people that know what they're talking about. Would you... If you were being abused, go to an adult and report it.
Yeah, because a couple of months ago, me mate actually went through the experience on New Year's Day. It was me that told, because I was with her at the time when it happened. And what happened is I told the staff at my home, because she was in my home, that what had happened to her.
So you spoke out.
Yeah.
You had the nerve to speak out and the sense to speak out.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what this program's about tonight. So if more people do what Dylan's done, we can save people's lives. Because what people don't understand out there is when you're abused, it's with you for the rest of your life. You're actually scarred for the rest of your life. That person might be put in prison. That person might go on to other things. You are the one that has to live with the scar. Thank you for being very honest, Dylan. You wanted to come back on that?
I was just going to say, in terms of looked after children being seen as more vulnerable, I think that where the vulnerability there is along wanting trust and love and that feeling from someone else. So I don't think that they're less vulnerable when it comes to the internet, but I think maybe they're more vulnerable in terms of wanting a loving relationship and wanting something back from that, which is probably why sometimes they find themselves in them situations.
Late Night City with Pete Price on City Talk 105.9.
If you've just joined us, ladies and gentlemen, it's a national campaign. It's child sexual exploitation, and the slogan is, we must believe them. Your name, please?
Hi, my name is May, and I'm from the Youth Parliament. I'd just like to point out how I feel like it's not known enough how big of a role parents play in their child's life. Not even only parents, but carers and just older people who look after the younger ones. Because if you think about it, It's the parents and the carers who buy the phones. It's them who pay for the internet. It's them who allow the young people to access these websites. So I feel like if parents stepped up a bit more, and not only in that kind of sense, but also to be more friendly to their child and for them to see the parent also as a good friend, not only a parent, an adult who's strictly very strict.
But you must see at school, as I did when I was at school 111 years ago, you must see the most unbelievable parents, your friends. You go, I wish my mum and dad were like them. There are different parents. There are people that can't talk about sex or sex education. But you know what I'm saying? Every parent is different. What do we do about that? For the parents that are listening now, think, oh, I couldn't be like that with my child.
It's good to understand how it's not just a joke. It's not a joking matter. It could even be a matter of life and death. It's their safety and their health over here. And I feel like it's a parent should try to do as much as possible to try to be there for their child and keep them as safe as possible. It may have to mean crossing boundaries and having to step out of your comfort zone, stepping out of your zone of being a strict parent. But I think it would all be worth it, because it's, at the end of the day, it's the child's safety and health.
I've got to ask you, a beautiful accent. Where are you from?
Iran.
How long have you been living here?
Just under 2 years.
Wow. So how old are you?
15.
So when you were in Iran, what was it like? Is this all alien to life in Iran, what we're talking about now?
Well, life in Iran, I'm sure a lot of people who follow politics and the news, it's a really harsh country and it's very strict. So, and we don't really have a lot of laws that are like strictly looked after. I mean, you could go rob a house in daylight and you wouldn't be caught for it. So it's no laws are taken strictly, unless when it comes to religion, that's when it's taken seriously. So if it doesn't have anything to do with religion, it wouldn't be taken seriously.
Were you ever conscious of anything like this when you lived in Iran?
No, but on the other note, I lived 10 years of my life in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. But I did live in Iran 2 years ago. And for that one whole year, it was disgusting and threatening. The way people were treated and the way that everything was just based on religion and nothing was based on health and safety.
Wow. Hi, I'm Ross from the Police and Crime Commissioner's Youth Advisory Group.
Yep.
And I'd just like to say I believe that there is a total lack of awareness for a lot of people, including young people or adults. There obviously is some awareness out there, but I believe there needs to be a lot more. It needs to be stressed an awful lot. Social media is an amazing thing to know about, and it's a great way to communicate with friends if they do live long distance, as the detective super said. However, people do need to be aware of the dangers out there. There is a lot of other social media sites and a lot of other applications you can get on your mobile phones that are very dangerous if not used in the right way. So I just think...
How old are you?
I'm 15. 16, sorry.
Tell me, as a 16-year-old, is this all new to you, or have you been aware of this before? Or is this all of a sudden starting to happen?
I've always known about CSE. However, I believe now, in the past recent years or months, it's been more broadcast as a result of the dangers of it. However, I didn't know about it. Not a lot. I didn't know a lot about it previous, yeah. But now I do.
You understand the fear a child would have listening now, mm-hmm. who, please God, there isn't anybody, but somebody out there now who wants to tell somebody, you're a young person. Mm-hmm. You understand that fear of crossing that line. Once you've said it, there's no going back.
Right. So
what do you say to young people?
I would say that they definitely need to tell somebody, if not a parent, then someone who you trust an awful lot, like yourself. Once you tell someone, then there's that it's out, then it's there. But it is vitally important that if you are getting sexually exploited, then you need to You need to make sure someone knows about it. Don't keep it to yourself. Obviously, it's understandably a very harsh subject to talk about. Someone needs to be made aware that this is going on so it can find a solution.
Hi, I'm Charlotte. I'm from the Youth Advisory Group for Jane Kennedy, the Police and Crime Commissioner. A couple of points. I'm 22, but I said, like, do children know about it? I don't think they do, and I think I only really clicked onto it because I watch the news, I watch BBC, I watch Sky News, and I think although it's about children, it's when they can get a very adult subject because it is only really on the news. I don't know anyone that sits and watches the news.
So how do we cross that line?
I hate to say it, but your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram. It's scary, the fact that that is causing the problem, but that's what we need to use to stop the problem.
That's interesting you say that, but Facebook, Twitter, yep, now slightly getting controlled, yeah, but anybody can put any lies they want up on the internet. Yeah. It is the world's most unpoliced thing in the world. So as you just said, it's there, but it's got two sides to it, as our police officer said, the same. So it is a problem, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the use of the internet is also scary because I didn't get my first mobile till I was, 11? It was a little old brick thing with Snake on, and that was about it. Whereas now, the only reason we got the internet is because I had to use it for homework for school. I go to work, I've got to use it to get my rota. I go to college, I've got to use it to access my work. We have to use it now. But I don't think we don't understand it. We use it daily, not just for work, but for play as well, and we don't understand it.
It is an awful thing to say, and I agree with what you've just said about a campaign on social media. But as it's been mentioned in here, the people that abuse will be one step further and will use the social media. So it's a vicious circle, and that is really scary. I take on board exactly what you mean, because that will hit straight into young people. But will it then be a weapon for the abusers? We are actually in a no-no-win situation. Does anybody agree with that? What's your name?
Taylor.
Yeah. Taylor, what do you think about what we're talking about today?
I think it's good, but to be honest, I didn't really know about it until I went to the meetings, and I don't think there's many people out there, like, at my age who really knows about it, because you don't go out in the everyday world and not everyone knows what people are going on about. And it's scary to think, like, what goes out and, like, what goes on in the open world. But at the same time, I think it needs to get put across a lot more, because there's children out there now who will hear that word and think, what's that about? They won't understand what it's about. And people don't every day listen to the radio, so they're not going to know what it's about. So I think it's just better that it goes, like, into the schools too, and that, like, children do get, like, at least the assembly about it, just to find out what it's about. And even if it's just like a little briefing about it, to find out, like, what they have to do if something does happen like that.
Do you do social media?
Yeah.
Right. How old are you?
I'm 15.
Right. If so, somebody came on to social media and joined you and started talking to you and befriending you as a person, and then started to move to something sexual, would you really be aware of what was going on? Or would you have been wooed into a false sense of security, do you think?
I'll be honest, I would now. But before the meetings and before I started all this, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have knew what to do.
So these meetings, in your opinion, would work?
Yeah, they would.
If we could get more and more meetings for children?
Yeah, because they tell you a lot. And, like, some of the things they say, it's a bit harsh and hurts a bit, but they're telling you what's happening out in the open world. And social media is bad, but it's good at the same time, because it's bad in a way that people can access it and, like, get children to speak to them. But it's good because you use it for all different things. It's not bad for just that reason.
So if you were invited to a party by somebody of 16, 17, would you now be aware that something ain't quite right?
Yeah, I would now, but I wouldn't have before all this.
Hi.
Hi.
Your name?
Najma.
And what can we do for you? What are you going to
tell us? Well, what I think, the problem of the lack of awareness of child sexual exploitation is with schools. They spend so much time teaching us about bullying and, like, why Facebook and all these social media sites are dangerous, but they don't spend, like, any time teaching us why child sexual exploitation is bad. Like, I've only been aware of it since last year because we saw the play in school. I didn't even know this was happening. When I went to the meeting, I was really shocked by, like, how these people are making a business out of using vulnerable young girls for money and for sexual acts because of, like, to friends and to make business. And it's not only bad that men are doing it, women are joining this business as well, gathering young, vulnerable young girls to do sexual favours. And I think it's just wrong, like morally wrong. How could a human being do something to that, to a child? That could be your child.
But don't you think it's sad? You say you didn't know about it. You actually shouldn't know about it because you should be enjoying your youth. It's a cruel world that didn't appear to be as bad as it is today.
Yeah, but as well as enjoying my my childhood, I should also know the dangers. Like, whatever's happening to me, I wouldn't notice it. Like, all this grooming that's done on over Facebook and social network. I've had a lot of friend requests, but half the people I just add because in school and like in high school, so you play like how many, who has the most friends? You play this little game like just adding anyone like who expects it. You just play this game with each other like, oh, I've got more followers than you. And I don't think people are aware of like, who are you adding? Like, do you even know them? And why are you adding them? Like, it brings all these questions to mind. But as a teenager, I would not know whether I was being groomed on Facebook or Instagram.
Are you aware with your friends at school and your friends out of school, are you aware that if you put a photograph up, it's there forever? So if a boy sends a photo of himself half naked or vice versa with a girl, that it's out there forever and ever. Do you think young people understand that?
No, like for Instagram, the papers to take pictures, whatever you're doing, selfies, like whatever you're doing. And like, we don't really notice that. When we put those pictures up online, we don't know who will see. Unless you make your account private, so like only like friends and family can see. Like, my account's not private, it's open to anyone, even though I know that's bad, but it's just...
So why do you leave it like that if you know it's bad?
Like, all my friends' accounts are not private, so yeah. I just go with it. Like, I just go with what my friends are doing. But now, like, I've been to these meetings and, like, how easily, like, youngsters can be groomed and exploited. Now I know what I'm doing is wrong and, like, I should play a part as well. Like, you can't blame teachers and parents for it. A child should also play the part. Like, you should make sure you're safe on Facebook when you're using it safely. Like, we've had so many lessons in school about why Facebook's dangerous and Instagram. But whatever we learn, like, the theory, do we apply to it in real life? That's the question, I think.
If anybody's just joined us, we're talking about child sexual exploitation. What is coming over here loud and clear is schooling seems to be the best place to actually tell children, young people, what's going on. That is coming over loud and clear. Your name, please?
Marilyn.
And what do you want to say?
I just wanted to say that we put a lot of... like stress on how parents and schools should do more. They do need to do more, but a lot of students, we do hear the information, like some, we do have assemblies and things, and we just like kind of shrug it off and just feel like it'll never happen to us, because when you listen to these stories, it feels like not far-fetched, but comparing it to like the life you live, you just feel like it's something that you'll never come across. And I feel like that's why sometimes it's easier for people to be caught in these traps, because they don't realize that it's happening to them and they don't feel like it would ever happen to them.
Interesting you say that. So what you're saying is, in the real world, that's the real world. My little world is that family, my friends... It won't happen to me. So we've got to go over that barrier.
Yeah.
Let's speak to Kerry from the NHS. Kerry, tell us what you do.
Hi, Pete. I'm here on behalf of NHS, sort of partner agencies, and I work for the Clinical Commissioning Group. So we buy the healthcare services on behalf of our local population. So that might be, we have contracts with the Royal, with Alder Hey, with GPs, with pharmacists. So we sort of have a duty to make sure that those providers of healthcare services are trained and have an awareness around some of the issues we're discussing today, so they can identify it and also know how to refer and support young people once they're identified as maybe being victims of CSE.
Are you finding that young people are starting to come forward?
I think in certain services, so maybe potentially in children and adolescent mental health services, maybe in some of our sexual health services, where maybe young people are presenting, maybe not overtly with CSE, but actually with the consequences of maybe CSE. So it's making sure that staff are skilled up and equipped to spot the signs and symptoms when it's not that overt presentation, but also know how to support and signpost young people, parents, carers, into the right partner agencies.
Interesting you say that. What's your message to parents listening right now?
Well, I think the campaign is about getting this message out to the general population, because I think, you know, awareness, as we've heard today from children and young people themselves, it comes through on the news, it maybe come through on the radio, but we've got to get this message out through as many channels, as many mediums as we possibly can. And as you say, parents are all very different, families and family dynamics are very different, so we maybe have to tailor the message, but making sure that the messages are consistent that we give to parents, families, children.
Let's go back to Detective Superintendent Tim Keelan. Tim, what are you learning from this today?
Well, I'm learning, I think, some of the information that I was already aware of, that young people are aware of the issue, but sometimes they're not talking to people about it. And that's understandable when you think the people are involved in what they consider to be private relationships. They don't talk about it on many occasions. But the people who are out there exploiting children, they're very, very deceitful. They are very manipulative. And sometimes they are able to convince young people, especially the more vulnerable young people, that they are somebody that they're not. And it's only at the very, very late stages, and we've talked about grooming today. Grooming doesn't just take place over an hour or so and then somebody deliver an explicit image of themselves over a mobile phone. This takes, on occasions, many, many weeks or even longer before a perpetrator of CSE has the confidence to actually ask a child to deliver a message like that. So it's taught me a lot around awareness. What I think we've all got to remember is that this today is about explaining to people, to the wider public, what CSE is, and raising an awareness of the issue, not only amongst young people, but also amongst professionals, because we haven't got it right yet. I think we need to be more willing to share information. It's also about making parents aware, and we're doing an awful lot about that awareness raising. This is part of it. We've developed a microsite which can be accessed via www.listentomystory.co.uk.
What's the purpose of that?
The purpose of the microsite really is to cite people on what CSE is, to explain to them what CSE involves, and to also explain to them that they can go to people, they can go to agencies. And we've heard people talking about people who they trust today speaking to somebody when they realise that maybe something isn't quite as they thought it was. But that website, that microsite, which has been developed, explains what people can do to raise their concerns and to seek help from people.
Right, young lady, your name?
It's Melissa.
And what do you want to say?
I trained as a nation nurse, so I'm qualified to spot the signs of CSE. But I just wonder, like, if adults don't understand what CSE is, how are young people supposed to understand what it is?
That's interesting. Young man next to you?
Can I just go back to one of them points?
After you tell me your name.
Liam.
Liam. Yes, Liam.
Sometimes it might not be grooming, such as because some girls dress older and put more makeup on.
So what you're saying is there's some young ladies out there, we'll use young ladies as an example, some young ladies could put some makeup on, dress provocatively. They're not doing it for a reason. They're doing it just because it's fun, just because it's a laugh. They don't realise that they maybe are laying themselves wide open to problems.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. So they then are not aware of the problem, because if they were aware of the problem, they wouldn't do it, maybe. But then again, you've made a very good point. Why shouldn't we be who we want to be, dress as we want to be, without being abused? You know, I, when you were all not even born, was outrageous when I was younger. When I look at myself in photos now, I think, oh, you made a show of yourself. But it was my choice. That doesn't mean that I'm open there for abuse. So why should I? So I think you made a very, very good point on that. A very good point. Yes, young lady.
I think we've spoken a lot about how children and young people aren't aware of this, of the issue and the case, and someone said before it's made into a very adult issue, which it is. But I think young people, in fact, are aware of it. They're just not aware of what adults are making it out to be. So if you say to the majority of young people, do they know somebody who's maybe got an older boyfriend, an older girlfriend? Do they know somebody who shared or received a photo? Majority of young people will tell you, yeah. So they actually are aware of the issue. They're just not aware of how adults are making it sound. Another point just to raise across it all is this doesn't just have to happen on the internet. This is something that happens within our communities. You know, there's been a big range around bed and breakfasts and burger and, you know, pizza parlour places and stuff like that. This isn't something that the internet can solely be blamed for.
That's interesting. What you just said then is you've widened it. It is. We have been talking about the internet, but that's the sad thing is if we can make people aware of it, then somewhere we can stop, because you've widened the problem.
Mm-hmm. I think that's something about making people aware of it. You know, as the saying goes, if you can't beat them, you know, join them. And that's it. If we can't stop young people using these sites and these apps and stuff like that, we can learn alongside them and keep ourselves and them safe with it. And something that was said before is about parents and teachers really taking onus of teaching young people and sort of empowering them to protect themselves. It's got to be a community reaction, because your mum doesn't look after your dental health. Your mum doesn't teach you. Your mum wouldn't give you a brain surgery. So it's got to be a joint effort, and it's got to be the whole community coming together to like protect these young people. It's not just down to teachers, it's not just down to parents. And I think, like, ultimately we can blame anyone we like, but the blame is on the perpetrators and it's not the child in any way at all.
Just going to what might maybe cut down like all this stuff that's happening with the internet and all the people is, I reckon, an adult, whether it's the police, a teacher or a parent, should like kind of police the young person's internet in a way to make sure this don't happen. Young people should be open to give the passwords and usernames to a trusted adult, I reckon, so that trusted adult can check, see what's happening in that, so it don't get to that situation that far.
Thank you. This young lady.
I know you say that you want to protect the children and you don't want to scare them, but I really think we need to be scared into knowing what's going on around us. I mean, as I said before, I didn't know a lot about this, and being shocked into it, obviously I was quite scared and I was like, oh God, I didn't know what that's all about. But learning what is there to help me if it ever did happen or I knew someone it happened to, I'm not as scared, because I know that there are so many people there to help them if they really need the help. And I think that's what needs to be put across. And again, as before, you said about using social network to help combat the problem. By putting adverts or putting the brand on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, making it more aware on there, they'll see it when they're maybe getting groomed. They'll see it next to them on the screen and they'll be able to click on it, see what it's about, see how they can get help. Because I think that's when it's mainly happening.
I totally agree with Eve. I think we wrap children up in cotton wool too much now, because children are an awful lot more sexualized now than they ever were. My sister, she comes out with stuff that, I don't know if I'm just being old, but I don't have a clue what she talks about sometimes. Some of these new words, it's like, what? Really? I think we wrap them up in cotton wool and we think, oh, they don't know that. They don't need to know that. They do, because they know more than we think they do. They're bleeding clever.
Any of the adults want to make a comment before we go? Tim?
Yeah, Pete, I'd just like to reiterate what this young person said before, that this isn't only about the internet, it's also about it's taking place in communities, it's taking place where there's gangs of feral youths in areas who will try to exploit and will bully children into sexually exploitative situations. So it is quite broad, it's not only about the use of the internet and people being groomed and exploited via that medium.
Young man,
just to say that, I know someone said before that people don't think that that could happen to them. But I think people need to be a lot more aware of the fact that it can happen to anyone. People hear about it all the time on radios or television, anything. And they think, oh, they know it's there, but they don't think it'll happen to them. But I think it can happen to anyone at any time.
It shouldn't just be like lightly touched on, like, so that you think that, oh, I don't want to scare kids too much, that they need to know, like, whether you're going to scare them or whether they're just going to take it well, that they need to know, whether, like, about child sexual exploitation, they need to know. and so that they can be aware of it and it doesn't happen to them.
Young lady here.
I think another important thing everyone should be aware of is the signs and what to look out for if a friend or a relative or anyone around you is being sexually exploited or is a victim. Things such as just odd behavior or maybe being distant or just general things that might make you suspicious that your friend or someone close to you is in danger. I think that's really important to make sure you know the signs.
We've just spoke now for about an hour and a quarter, and what has upset me is that we've just touched on the most explosive subject that we shouldn't be dealing with. Merseyside have got this campaign. We've got young people, and what's come across here tonight is there's got to be an awful lot of education. What was interesting was it's not just the parents. We've all got to watch out for each other. We really must watch out for each other. When these young people here weren't born, something happened in this city that was horrendous. A little boy was taken and killed, a little boy called James Bulger. The reason I mention that is he was taken through the streets by some boys, and people watched it on the bus and just thought that this little boy was being taken because he was naughty, because he was being pulled along by two older brothers. He was screaming and shouting, and nobody took any notice. I did a program, and all of a sudden we found witnesses that had experienced this. The reason I mention this is that's how aware we have got to be in this day and age. If we see something that doesn't sit right, something's going on. Maybe it's everyone's duty to protect these people in here, everybody that's listening, and maybe this campaign, which is national, but Merseyside are leading the way as always, maybe we have to, every one of us, take a leaf out of the book of all these people who have spoke here tonight. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's have a round of applause. People don't believe you're here.
Show. Late Night City with Pete Price on City Talk 105.9.